Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you back this evening. We're live this evening on November the 9th at 8 p.m. Right now we have extended our broadcast time and our show times. And we just wanted to encourage you, if you're listening online, you can call in at 646-668-2636 and join the conversation. Come on the line, share your input and your thoughts of our issue, of a topic this evening that we're talking about. And we're going to be touching on a couple of things. We're going to talk about marriage today. We're going to talk about seven gospel-centered principles for protecting our marriage, because we know in this culture today that marriage is being redefined by the culture, and for some folk, they just don't know what it means to be married. But what we're going to talk about today is for those who marry couples, those married couples in the body of Christ, those married couples, even if you're not believers, or you know one spouse is a believer. Some of the principles we're going to talk about here is how do you get your marriage to survive, to strengthen it, to encourage one another, to build your marriage up. And some of the points we're going to touch upon are ways to protect your marriage. Because again, even if the culture has redefined it, what goes on in marriage, sometimes we have to do tune-ups, we have to do checkups on our relationships. We can't take the relationship for granted. We can't take our spouses for granted. And then we have to do those things that's going to strengthen it, encourage, and build up our marriages. So we encourage you to stick with us and listen to us today and join us. Also, if you're listening online, I'm sorry, if you're listening on your phone and you want to tell somebody to go online, they can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, and they can listen online. You can also go there and listen to the rebroadcast archive of this show. And also, while you're on the website, you can select follow. And with follow, you'll get updates. You get information about new shows as they're being broadcast and being linked. Also, you can go to Facebook. You can join us on Facebook. There's Issues Christian Men's Talk on the Facebook page. You can join there, send us a message, give us some insight on what you're thinking and what's going on, and maybe even some show and topic ideas for future shows. Amen. Good evening, Pastor Larry Watkins. How are you, sir?
I'm blessed, Deacon Farr. How are you, sir? It's good to be here.
Amen, sir. Thank you for joining us this morning. I'm glad to hear your voice. I just been introducing myself to the audience and telling them about our new format and our new vision and our expanded times. We're here at 8 o'clock on a Monday night. We normally, most of our regular listeners will listen to on Saturday at 10, but we're expanding and we plan on having a lot of different guest pastors, guest topics, authors. We plan on expanding a little bit more with the Blog Talk format and also Issues Christian Men's Talk. But also, our foundation is always going to be the same. It's always going to be talking about the issues that affect men's lives as they continue to love their wives and raise their children, and the issues that they go through, and try and give biblical solutions to some of those problems. Because even us as men in the body of Christ, there's things that we all have in common as men, and in our marriages and in raising our children, and then the things that we deal with in life. So those are some of the things we're going to be talking about. We're going to be bringing in pastors and share godly wisdom. We're going to be doing interviews on different topics and subjects in the coming months. And we're just looking to be a blessing and encouragement to the men that's listening and to the kingdom in general. Amen. So since we started the reboot, there's one thing that I wanted to share, and I share on every show, so we can define it. Because, again, the way the culture defines things, the culture, over time and over years and whatever is popular, we change the definition of a lot of things. But here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we're going to be talking about, we're going to define manhood. And this is our definition. It's going to be our working definition over the entirety of our show. It's going to be a real man. He is one who understands and accepts the responsibility for the development of his mental, emotional, and spiritual capacity, and demonstrates this by his maturing attitude and actions in his personal life, his home life, his vocational life, his social life, and his spiritual life. So as a man, we need to understand and accept the responsibility, development, and demonstrate it in our lives. Amen. So that's what we do. That's our foundation. That's going to be our creed. And I've gotten that out of a book I've been studying and reading over the years. I've read it through once, and I go back and read the chapters. It's called Man of God by Charles Stanley. And that was one of the definitions he gave for a real man. And like I said, we're going to make that's going to be our mantra and our creed here on Issues Scripture Men's Talk. Because we have to define it. We have to understand what it means and how important it is that a man take responsibility and accountability for his life and not let life just happen to him. And he's reactive to it. We have to be, as men of God and husbands and fathers, we have to be more proactive. We have to set a vision. And that's what proactive means. We have a vision of what we're trying to accomplish in our marriages, what we're trying to accomplish in raising our children, to put them out as well-balanced emotionally and physically adults. So, amen. So, Dr. Watkins, sir, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well, Deacon Farr. I must say that it's an honor and a pleasure for me to be here with the new men's Christian Men's Talk reboot format, and I'm excited about the things that we are going to be doing going forward and ministering. Thank you for this opportunity.
Amen. Can you open us up with prayer, and we'll get right into the conversation.
Sure. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, how we love you and adore you. God, how we appreciate you for all that you do for us and all that you are, God. We thank you because you are God, and besides you, there is none other. We appreciate you because you have set us, Lord God, to be the head and not the tail, to be above and not beneath, Lord God, that you have created us just a little lower than the angels and crowned us with glory and honor. Now, Lord, we pray that you would help us, Lord God, to live worthy of the vocation wherein you have called us. Help us, Lord, to stand up and be the men that you would have us to be, Lord God. Teach us, Lord God. Give us information. Give us knowledge, Lord God. Give us wisdom, Lord God. But most of all, give us understanding. We thank you now for what you're about to do. Speak through us and to us that we may understand, Lord God, the mysteries of your word, that we may know, Lord God, the practicality of your kingdom, Lord God, that we may understand, Lord God, how to apply this to our life. Help us and make us better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much for that prayer. Amen. So we're going to start the conversation. Again, we're talking about seven gospel-centered principles for protecting our marriage. And let me begin this. You know, the Bible says, you know, that a man is, we are as men, as husbands. Once we step into the role as husband and father, we're called to protect. We're called to serve as protection and a covering. The Bible talks about a man covering his family. That means covering them in prayer, covering them in their emotions, covering them, you know, physically. Because what man would be, you know, not take the defensive if he's walking down the street with his wife and someone runs up on him? You know, something happens. So you're trying to get robbed. Would you step in front of her? You know, if she was feel threatened in any way, would you not engage? If she came home and told you she was having a problem at work, how many husbands would be ready to go up to the job and straighten the situation out? And it's the same thing. We have to understand it's the same thing in the spiritual realm as husbands. We have to be able to stand in the gap and protect our wives. No matter how strong our wife is, she could be a very strong woman. She could be a very spiritually strong woman. But she's still your wife, and she's still a woman. And the thing that we have to understand in the Word of God, the Word of God teaches roles and responsibilities. And that's something that we have to definitely stay focused on, okay? Because men and women, they're equal in God's sight. God sees us as equal. But we also have roles, you know? Adam had a role. Eve had a role. Women have a role. Men have a role. And these are the godly roles that God has given. So when it comes to marriage, as men, we have to be in a place where we are setting the temperature. You know, I heard a long time ago that men are the thermostats in marriage. We set the temperature in the marriage relationship. We say if it's cold, it's cold because we're cold. If it's hot, it's because we're hot. If it's lukewarm, it's because we're lukewarm. We're not leading. We're not protecting. We're not spiritually or emotionally leading our families. Through the things of life, again, you know, life is not going to be perfect all the time. But we as men, sometimes we have to be in a place where we can lead our family through the storms and the trials of life. That everything that doesn't happen, the family breaks down. You know, losing a job, a death in the family. You know, we feel it and we have emotional response to it, but then our families are taking the cues from us on how they respond to these things. Even in tragedy, even in like I say, in tragedies and death, and as life happens, we as husbands and fathers should be able to take the lead in guiding our family through the process. Amen. So one of the first things we're going to talk about, Pastor Watkins, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about, I think this is a big one, because we're starting off big. We're going straight to it. We do not take each other for granted. You know, sometimes with life, as working and children and raising of our children and working and doing time on the job and trying to get advancement on the job and you know, but even just, you know, being a good employee at a work or company we're working for, and getting the kids to school and back and forth to school and being involved in church and all the things that we do in life, do we have to watch that we don't start taking our spouse for granted, that our marriage relationship gets into a rut where it just gets boring. It's the same thing over and over. You're in a rut. You can predict it. You know, there's an old joke about, you know, Saturday night is romantic night. You know, there's no spontaneity. That's the word I'm looking for. There's no spontaneity in the marriage. And then as a couple, as a man and a woman, you know, we take each other for granted because if we look back, I know we've all been there, no matter how long you've been together. There was a time when you were in pursuit of your spouse. You was in pursuit to get her or him. You was doing things. You was trying to make them happy. You was trying to show them love. You was interested in what they had to say. And you were engaged, you know, going way back to if you knew your spouse back when you was a teenager. How many of us just used to sit on the phone and just don't even be saying that? We're just on the phone. I mean, back in the old days when the phone was in the house. So you're both in the house talking on the phone, and y'all ain't saying nothing, but you keep it on the phone, your mother calling, you telling her, get off the phone, y'all ain't saying nothing. I'm just saying, that's back, you know, 70s, 80s, before cell phones. But we have to understand, when couples who are courting or engaged spend every spare moment together and can't bear to be apart for long, but often after they're married, each gets so caught up in career, children, hobbies, sports, and other activities that the marriage relationship is neglected. Very gradually, a couple drifts apart. Now, there may not be much open conflict. The spark is missing. The wife may notice that something is wrong, only to have her husband tell her that she's worried about nothing. And that's where it starts. You know, you lose the spark. You lose that wanting to be together, that wanting to be alone together. No matter where your kids are, you know, drop the kids off somewhere. But you start to take each other for granted. Pastor Watkins, what do you think, sir, about that danger? Is that something we have to look out for?
I think the danger is very real, and is a very big problem when we start talking about marriages and the issues that come with marriages. And for the sake of this call, I'm going to be honest with you, Deke. These are some of the things that I am struggling with even now in my marriage. I've only been married for 4 years, and we're getting to the point now, you know, where the honeymoon is over, and you get to the point now where you've been doing things for so long, you get into that rut, you get into that road of trying to make sure that the bills are paid, that you're working enough to make sure that you've got money coming in and all of those things, and sometimes you begin to take each other for granted. You know, many times during these conversations, Deke, I'm the one that has, you know, the answers, but I'm going to switch the roles here a little bit. You know, you've been married longer than I have, and you are the one that has the wisdom and knowledge in this. So I'm going to ask you, Deke, you know, what do you do in situations like this when you're getting to there and you find out now that that the spark is gone, you know, with that the marriage is starting to fade a little bit, and you find that you and your spouse are starting to take each other for granted? I'm asking you, Deke, and I'm going to sit at the feet of you, and sit at your feet today and ask, how do you deal with this? You know, what do you do? What has been your experience, and how can you help a brother like me who's only been married for a few years and is starting to experience these things?
Amen, brother. Amen. You know, I appreciate your transparency and honesty. This is a great burden I'm about to share. I'll see if I can handle it. Amen. Well, let me first say this. You know, my marriage, we've been married 32 years, so But, you know, our first 15 years, we were not in the church, we weren't saved. And our marriage, you know, it was almost at that point because, you know, issues that were going on. And I think some of it was taking each other for granted, or at least I'll say for me, taking my wife for granted. You know, our kids were just at the age, you know, our son was born the first year we were married, so he's been with us the whole time. And after a while, like you said, going to work, paying the bills, getting the rent and everything, making sure there's groceries, all those things, you know, doing promotion. And I was in the military when we first got married. And you're right. You get into a rut of the normal day, that your day becomes the same thing. Go to work, come home, go to work, pick the kids up, go to work, pick the kids up from school, do the homework, get the kids fed, get dinner done. You know, my wife was early in our marriage, she was a you know, stay-at-home mom. So she was here with the kids and she was doing the homework. I work, come in. We talk a little while. Then it was time to get the kids to bed. And then we go to bed and end up the next morning you're doing the same thing over again. Amen? So we all go through that. But I think it happened when we first came into the church and we first came into the church, we went to a lot of couples things. We went to a lot of couples things trying to build that marriage up and get it back on what God said it was, because, again, we weren't in the church or anything. And we was working off previous foundations of what we knew. But then as we began to, you know, learn, we got ministered to by our pastor. Again, we had couples counseling and things like that. And as we both began to grow in Christ, we do it on purpose. You have to be on purpose. You can't let things just happen. You can't let things just, you know, let life live. You have to plan it out. I know the new thing now is we even tell couples to have date nights. That's something. That's a strategic thing that we can do. Having that weekly date night, that weekly night when we're not talking about our needs, we're talking about each other. We're spending quiet time together with each other. And even as we're speaking about that, let me put this out there. All date nights shouldn't be go to the movie to sit in the dark for 2 hours, or go to a restaurant, eat, look at each other, eat, and then come back home and go to sleep. That's not really a date night. I think sometimes we have to be strategic in our date nights, that what are we going to do? Are we going to talk about each other? Are we going to spend time? What's going on with each other? Hear each other, you know, talk, communicate, and really truly listen. You know, we say about, you know, talking and communicating, but a lot of people don't even know what that means. It's that we block everything else out and focus in on our spouse for those date nights. You have kids, you set up babysitting, because you don't even have to, you know, you don't even have to go anywhere. If you can get your kids, someone to watch your kids, and you can sit and stay in your own home and just hear the quietness and be with each other and talk out some stuff, see what's going on. You know, so many things happen to us in life that we respond to, but we have no time to think about it. And I think that's one of the things we have to do. You know, and we have to be on purpose. As husbands, as any young husband I'd ever talk to, or a brother who's even, you know, if you're struggling, if you've been married 10, 12, 15 years, take the time and make get back to the point where your marriage and your spouse is your highest priority and work from there. And for the brothers that's in the body of Christ, you know, you may be in ministry, you may be a deacon, or you just may be, you know, very involved in ministry. Take time for your wife and spouse. You know, take time out of all the things that you want to do, but make them a priority. And I think that's the biggest thing. Make your spouse the priority. And for any wives that are listening, it's the same thing. Make your husband the priority, even over the kids, because a lot of things that mothers do, I don't hate to say this, is why I'm getting in trouble, but them children won't die. You know, you can make your husband the priority, and those kids will be okay. But that's a mother thing right now, so I'm going thin ice right here. But you have to get to the point where them kids ain't going to die, and they will be okay. And you have to get to make your spouse the priority. And I think that it's an on-purpose thing. It's not just going to happen. You know, it takes a focus. It's challenging, but we have to be up to the challenge. And then again, we have to, and for those in the body of Christ, we must be able to pray. We must be able to pray. We must be able to pray. We must be able to know. We have to know our spouses. We have to love our spouses. You know, we have to be intimate with them. And intimacy is not always sex. Intimacy is knowing how they feel, what their emotions is, how they're going to respond. You know, if something happens to your wife, you know how she's going to respond, and you know what you're going to have to do. You know it's going to set her off. You know it's going to make her cry. You know it's going to upset her. And some stuff you have to be able to head off or be able to, you know, comfort her in times of comfort. Because as I tell you, any husband will know. Your wife, you ask your wife what's wrong, and she say nothing wrong, you should know that it ain't true. I don't care what she says. It ain't true. Because you should be able to tell by her body language, by the way she talks, by the way she walks around the house, that something is wrong, but you have to have a way to be able to reach into that. So I'll share that on that, you know, taking each other for granted. We have to be on purpose to be able to engage our spouses on purpose. We have to make it just like we plan anything else out. You plan your vacations, your work schedules, your whatever. The same time you put in, you want to go back to school. You want to do whatever. Now, all the things that we plan for learning to them because we see a goal at the end, we need to see our marriages as a long-term project and how we're going to hit different milestones. That same skill that we bring to program management, sometimes we need to bring that into our marriages and make it the priority, and this is what we want to get. And let me say this also, that we have to set goals in our marriage. Where do we want to be in a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years? You know, and then everything is moving towards that, and you're in agreement with that, and that helps. And then you're focused, you're together, it's, you're one flesh. The Bible speaks of being about one flesh, and that's what it's about. There's no secrets. There's no secrets. There's a bonding. There's a true bonding. You talk about one flesh, we turn it into a cliche. You hear it from the pulpits, but that one flesh means you're moving in the same direction at the same time, at the same speed. You're there. You're together. It's you. You know, I heard this a long time ago at a couples retreat, and it stuck with us, me and my wife. It's me and her against everybody else. Nothing is going to come between our flesh, our one flesh. Anything that tries to separate us, we're not going to allow it. It's us, and then it's everybody else. And, you know, your children are covered, but then at some point, even your adult children shouldn't come between you and your spouse. Again, I'm getting in trouble. So we're going to take a good break right here. This is Issues of Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Fall. We're here with Pastor Larry Watkins, and we're talking about 7 gospel-centered principles of protecting your marriage. And the first one that we were talking about is not to take each other for granted. And I was just sharing a little bit with Pastor Watkins to share some of my since I'm the oldest, I've been married the longest here, to share some of my insights and some of the things that would help. So, Pastor Watkins, let's go. I'm gonna move on because I don't want to dominate the whole show in that one because we have 7 more. So we're gonna see how many we can get through tonight.
Amen. Well, Deke, you brought up so many things, and I want to take a moment. You know, I know we want to move on, but you brought up so many pertinent issues and so many things that I have some questions, and I just want to ask, you know, you talked about creating intimacy or having intimacy, and sometimes we as men find that a hard thing because we, like you said, we sometimes mistake intimacy for sex, and it's not always the same thing. Talk about a little bit about that intimacy thing. What is intimacy? How do we create it? And what do we do when we think it's just sex? How do we change that mindset?
All right, brother. Well, first of all, we have to think about intimacy as, you know, it's more than sex. It's a bond. It's a bond. It's really a bond. It's how we relate to each other. It's a knowing of each other. You know, it's emotional, it's a mental, it's a physical bond. You know, I shared recently with a brother who was talking about, you know, his wife, you know, they don't make love enough or not enough for him. Or, you know, she has all these prerequisites for them to make love. And I told them, well, you got to ask yourself why, you know. And I think the biggest thing we have to look at when we talk about intimacy is trust and respect. That's just me. That's just what I see out of it. You know, if you can't trust and respect the person, you're not really opening yourself up to be intimately and have those emotional, it's an emotional bond, an emotional tie. And then sometimes, too, we have to understand, too, for my young couples out there, it comes with time. It comes with maturity. It comes with growth, you know. Hey, we, you know, I just used the example here. The guy I was when I was 20 and the woman my wife was when she was 20, we're not those same people right now, 30 years later. So it's part of it. A lot of it is growing together and truly knowing each other. Because if you've been, you know, a courting, a dating relationship for, a couple of years, whatever it is, you know, but once the marriage is and life starts, it's that building and maturing together. And I think the two words I'm going to stay with is, you know, the trust and respect is where intimacy begins. But if you stop and think about it, how committed and how close would you get with someone that you do not trust and you do not respect? And if that person is your spouse, what kind of marriage do you really have? What do you think, sir?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, it's hard sometimes because, you know, when you first get married, you have that fire and that sexual tension, if you will, from just being married and everything. And then once you get into the marriage, that spark goes away. And not that spark, but that tension goes away because you've done just about everything you possibly can. And you have to find new ways of developing that intimacy. And like I said, you know, I'm having, you know, the hard time of understanding how to do that and it not be a sexual thing, you know. So like you said, it takes trust and it takes that understanding that you have to come together. And I appreciate that. Let's move on to the second area that we were talking about. And it says that we have to now make your personal walk with the Lord a priority. It says marriage takes grace. On our own, we are selfish sinners. It is only as we are strengthened by God's word through his spirit that we can endure in love. We do not have the power to keep loving our own strength in our own strength. Jesus said that we abide in him, we will bear much fruit. But apart from him, we can do nothing. It's important for us to have a personal relationship because that relationship helps us in our marriages. Talk about your experience, Deke, of how your personal relationship has helped to build you or helped to help you in your relationship with your wife.
Amen, sir. Well, you know, I'm going to go back to what David said, you know, and all that David did when he sinned. And the thing that he cried out to God, I believe it was in Psalm 51, that he has sinned against you. You know, he has sinned. He repented and asked God forgiveness because his sin was against God. And I think that's part of our maturing in our faith and our relationship with the Lord. The sins we commit, are we being obedient to God? And because of the sins, because we're being disobedient to him, then we have a struggle with the sin that's in us, and we open ourselves up to sin, and we don't obey his word. And not obeying his word is sin. So if we have if our foundation is the word of God, if our foundation is our salvation, there's some stuff we won't even get to. Because if we have the Holy Spirit within us, the Holy Spirit is going to keep us from some things. It's going to give us a godly conscience about things. It's going to guide. It's going to develop us. It's going to direct us. That's one of the things that comes back from, again, I look around today. Again, I wasn't in the church when I got married. But now I see young people and I see folks getting married, and they don't have a strong foundation in Christ. And that's where it begins, because then without that, the enemy uses all the other stuff. He uses finances, he uses jealousy, envy, vindictiveness, tit for tat, arguing because, you know, I don't like how they do, I don't like what they do, I don't like how the kind of toothpaste they use, I don't like that the toilet paper roll goes under and over, you know, all that, it's a foothold because they have no, they don't have a foundation in Christ and obedience to what Christ said. And that comes with, again, maturity. You know, you have to be mature in Christ. You have to have your foundation has to be based on God, because that also helps in when it comes time to argue. And then when you're in disagreement and there's tension in the marriage, you know that your spouse is going to God. You know you're going to seek godly counsel. You know that, you know, I have to fix this because of what God says about marriage and what God has ordained marriage to be and what is and how he's going to shape and mold and change us the same way we have a renewed mind. We have to, that with all the scriptures that we read all the time about being a renewed mind, a heart for God, the one another's that scripture talks about that I've heard teachings on, all that applies to our spouses. That's the whole point. If we have a foundation in his word, if we abide in him, we can get through anything. Not that his stuff's not going to happen, but if we have a strong faith, we're going to be able to overcome it. And the tragedies and the trials should draw us closer together and then draw the couple together closer to God to find the answer. So that's why I think having the faith. And then now, here we go. I'm getting ready to get on some more toes. This is why sisters come to the church. They met a guy. He's so beautiful and wonderful. And you bring him to your church. Okay? How come he doesn't have his own church? If he's a potential fiancé, the spouse, whatever, how come you're not going to his church to see what he's learned and believed and see what he's doing? I see it all the time. Young girls that, you know, they're in the church, they grew up in the church or whatever, they were single, they meet somebody, and you see them bringing their potential fiancé to the church they attend. Aren't they going to get married and go to the church he's attending? He should be a stable and mature Christian first, where you're ready as his wife to become part of the ministry he's part of. But they bring him to the church they attend. He comes for a while. He gets, you know, he sits around. He waits till he gets married, and you don't see him again. Because why? He has not had a personal walk with the Lord. It's not a priority to him. He did it so he can get married. He wanted to get married. He wanted to meet her. But now after that, he's not in ministry. He's not involved with ministry. He showed up a couple Sundays. He sat through the counseling, and he's never seen or heard of again. But that's just me. That's why I don't have any sponsors, so I'm free to share my insights. These are things I've witnessed, so I've just seen it. And then you hear about these marital problems later down the road because one of the two spouses don't have a strong foundation in God, and then when stuff happens, they revert back to their flesh. They revert back to what they've known from whatever their family history is, how their parents used to argue, fuss, and fight every week, and then, you know, be, you know, whatever. But they stay together 35 years, but they half the time they can't stand each other, but they've been married 35 years. You know what I'm saying? So I think the relationship with God is important, and it's something we should, and even in the midst of it, again, I can only use my testimony. We were together 15 years, and then as we came to the Lord, my wife had come to the Lord first, and then later on I came, and then we started the work to shape and mold our and change our relationship and line our relationship up with the Word of God. It's as simple as that. You can get a Bible, you can get a marriage Bible, you can do a lot of things that we have to each grow in Christ, and then as we grow in Christ, we can work everything else out. We know that we can pray. I know my wife will pray. Even when she's, you know, upset at me, she'll pray. I know, you know, when to pray. I know when to be quiet because, you know, we need peace. It takes two to argue. You know, my first pastor told me a long time ago, the reason why him and his wife don't really argue, because only one of them is acting crazy at a time. If only one of y'all act crazy at a time, you can end a lot of arguments. But if you both acting crazy at the same time, that's where stuff gets out of control. So you always have to have one who's going to be the sane one in the midst of the crazy to cut the crazy off. I'm just saying. What do you think, sir?
Amen, Deacon. I agree with you, man. I appreciate that. You know, when you look back at things, you know, we always talk about, you know, I had a praying grandmother, you know, or I had a praying mother. Whatever happened to having a praying father or a praying grandfather, you know? As men, we're supposed to have a relationship with God for ourselves. And I say this all the time, and it's coming true in my life as well, is that we have to understand that we have to love God. And I'm stuttering with it, but we have to love God more than we love our wives. Because we have to be able to have a relationship with God for ourselves. We have to be able to have that intimacy with God for ourselves so that we can lead somebody. We can't lead where we haven't gone. And if we haven't had that time with God, then how are we going to lead somebody else to that point? And many times we allow the women in our lives to lead. We allow the grandmothers to be the praying grandmothers. We allow the mothers to be the praying one. And the men sit back in the big chair and eat the big piece of chicken. You know, I've always said this. It's important for us as men that we have a relationship with God and that we set the tone for the family, that we are the ones that are praying, you know, first and allowing them to see us pray. And then they will then join in and become a part of that. But you got to have your own relationship first. Let's move on to this. I'm going to take over Deke's job now since he's being the one that's taking over my job. This is Issues Christian Talk. we're glad to be here. We're here now with our new reboot. You can reach us on the web. And also, if you look on Facebook, you can see our new number and dial in and come into the conversations. We're going to be doing some new things and some wonderful things. So we ask that you take note, look at the Facebook page, see what's coming up, and be aware that Issue Christian Men Talk is here and that we are available for you. Deke, let's move on to number three. We've talked about that it's important that we don't take each other for granted. We've talked about that we need to have a personal walk with the Lord and a personal relationship. The third thing that we need to do is we need to remain involved in a strong church. It's important for us to have the church. It says that the neglect of gathering with people of God is detrimental to your soul and to your family. Hebrews 10:25. It is important for you to be in a strong church so that you can benefit from counseling and accountability in your relationship as you have that in relationship that has trouble. Deke, talk about for a minute what is the importance of having a strong relationship or a strong church life as well as in your marriage as well.
Amen, sir. You know, it's funny you said that. That's my whole testimony for my marriage and my wife's marriage. The fact that after about 15 years of marriage, that my wife got saved. She was, you know, she went to church with a friend and she got saved. And then I started going, you know, I had to pick them up on Sunday. Back then we only had one car. So I would go drop them off, pick them up, you know, did that for a while. Then I would go in and sit and then after, you know, I think it was like a year later, you know, I gave my life to the Lord and then we started to work on our marriage. And I thank God for the church. It was New Life Church. It was Pastor Nolan Henson and his wife, Terry Henson. And they were strong. They was a strong church and there was other strong. And the other important thing was the church was a strong church at the time. And there was other married couples there, mature married couples who've been married, you know, a lot longer than us. Even those who had the same amount of years as us, they were, you know, there were folk there who was raised, who've been Christians their whole life. And we were able to, as that, glean from them, learn from them, be mentored by them. And I think then when we had issues as we were going up and down, as we was working it out, the church, again, it's like what you was reading, you know, the accountability, this kid needs counseling. It's a benefit to have those counselors and accountability when relationships hit problems, when marriage is going through. You know, a lot of folk, you know, I don't understand it myself personally. Some folk, their marriages, they start having problems. They don't tell anybody. They don't tell an elder. They don't reach out to no one in the church. But I think that's because we come to the church and we put on masquerades. We put on a front. And then this is something that people who know who've listened to me before and listened to my previous shows, we come to church and Sunday morning is not a judge of what's going on in anybody's life. Sunday morning is not, you can't judge anything by the Sunday morning because everybody goes clean, got on clean clothes, clean underwear, just took a shower, just shaved, just got their hair done. You know, that's not a judge of what's going on in anybody's life. And I think that's where what we get into, again, I take it back to the first thing, we get into that spiritual rut. that we went to church. We had 3-hour service. We was moved. It was going. We was rolling. The word was out there, and we're not applying it to our lives. We, no one knows us. We're not, and what's the word I want to use? I want to get biblical. Koinonia. We have no true, real fellowship with the saints around us. You know, we don't have those, that connection. We're not connected with anybody. We have our pastor. We have our elders. We want to look good and impress them. We don't go to them with our problems. And I've seen marriages. I've seen folks go to church until you find out. First of all, one of the spouses stopped coming. And next thing you hear about is they separated or getting a divorce. But because there was no real relationship, there wasn't no real accountability, the struggle begins. And I think that's where, and now there's two sides to that. People don't open up. And then on the other side, I think ministry, as ministry and minister, we're not reaching out to let them find out what's going on with people. We're not being proactive. That's the word I'm looking for. And I think the only way we can do that, it has to be more. I mean, I'm not going to go and speak like I know the answers, but there should be a priority for marriages, you know, calling the married couples together. And then here, it's just Christian Men's Talk. I always have advocated men's ministry in a church where men come together and speak about the issues that dealing with men amongst men so that the wisdom and the knowledge and experience can be shared. Because we have a whole bunch of things, we have a whole lot more in common than we are different. And when we come to the church, if you're in the church where there's a lot of, you know, we have to keep appearances up, and people live in masquerades, and they have struggling marriages, they got jobs, they have money, they're not making it through the money and finances, all those things that are destroying families, just keep on going. But we had a good Sunday service. I think we're really failing the body of Christ. Because again, the world looks at us, and if we're not example, and we're not committed to Christ, then why would the world want to even get involved? But I don't want to paint it with a broadbrush, but I think that's the importance of a church, that we have to be held accountable. You know, I want to go back to that word that was used in what you was sharing. I think accountability is the biggest thing. Mentoring and discipling folk. You know, finding out what's going on in marriages. Because usually, I mean, I find for myself, you know, even when we do men's ministry stuff, the stuff I've gone through or been through, I can bring it up in a room of a group of men, and somebody's going through it. Somebody's been through it. If we get married couples in the room, if we have people who've been married 5 years, 5, 10 years, 15 years, or 25 years, there's a similar experience with a similar issue that someone is either going through, been through, and we could be able to share to encourage one another. And that's accountability. And we have to, I think, it's important that we get to that point, that, you know, because a lot of people in marriage, they struggle because they think they're the only ones going through. They're the only ones with money problems. They're the only ones who seem like they're fighting all the time, and they just can't get no peace at home. And they think they're the only one because they look at the example of, you know, the elders and the pastor. They think their marriages are perfect because everybody's happy on Sunday in the church. Any church gathering, everybody is, you know, happy and smiling. Some people go home to terrible situations, and they don't see the church as a place where they can share that pain and hurt and try and get the healing, because a lot of it has to do with, you know, it needs, so we need counseling. And if we're in a church, and let me say this, I'll say this and I'll stop for this segment, but if you're in a church and you don't feel comfortable going to your leader about what's going on in your marriage, you need to find another church. You need to find a place, because God did not create the church. God did not create marriage for it to be a struggle. The marriage is something God created, and it was a thing that he created for us to have companionship, oneness, that one flesh is talked about in Scripture. That's not in disagreement, and it's not a burdensome problem. Sin has done it, but we have overcome sin through the blood of Christ, and that our relationships can be healed and reconciled back to ourselves. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here this evening. We're doing November the 9th, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock this week. And we're talking about marriage. We're talking about 7 gospel-centered principles protecting your marriage. And the one we just shared about not taking each other for granted. And the second one, we're talking about our personal walk with the Lord should be a priority. And the one we talk about here being that we remain involved in a strong church, and we sharing the importance of us being part of a church. As a married Christian couple, we should be part of a strong church that who knows who we are and cares about us and is ministering to our needs. That a church that speaks into marriage, that supports marriage, that tells our young people that marriage is a good thing. That having a spouse and a companion is something we want to commit to. We want to teach commitment. We want to teach recommitment. We want to teach that all marriages are not perfect, but all marriages can be healed and get to the place where God has created you, you know, and it has to be an atmosphere. It's an atmosphere. And in a strong church, there's an atmosphere where marriage and married couples are supported and encouraged, and we're outreaching, and we're not letting things go to the wayside. And we're being proactive in the commitment of the marriage, a man and his wife, and helping the relationships grow. And when there's a trouble, we come alongside through prayer, through counseling, and we just want to keep the marriage strong. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Watkins, where we at? What's our next one, brother? Or you had something else?
No. Let's continue on. The next one says that we need to quickly and completely resolve conflicts. It says to leave an issue unresolved and to remain angry is letting the devil into your house to wreak havoc. Marriages fraught with unresolved conflicts are more vulnerable to more increasingly destructive conflicts and extramarital affairs. Believing couples must be determined to do whatever is necessary to be fully reconciled to one another. It's important for us to make sure that the Bible talks about not letting the sun go down on our anger. Talk for a minute about how the importance of making sure that you resolve a conflict completely and not letting it fester and create what the Bible calls a root of bitterness in the marriage.
Amen, sir. Well, again, you know, it's a lot. You know, when you had that and that scripture that you gave about not letting the sun go down in your anger. You know, I've known couples and I've known pastors and elders and ministers who've taught that, and you know, it's a lot to look at it. I mean, it's because when we talk about that anger, it's more than just, you know, you have to resolve it. You have to get to a place. First of all, you have to have an atmosphere in your home that conflict is not, you're not going to let conflicts or disagreements separate and jeopardize your love and affection for one another. Because you're going to have difference of opinion. You're going to have, different ways you think you should resolve an issue, a problem, no matter what it is. It's always from the kids to finances to in-laws or, you know, whatever. There's going to be conflict. We're going to have differences of opinions. We have different thoughts. We come into a marriage with different mindsets. But, again, this builds off of our faith in God, our trust and respect. And then I'm going to throw something else in there. It comes under, does a wife truly, is she really submitted unto her husband's leadership in the home? I know that's an evil, bad word. And I know that, you know, it's a struggle. But if a wife truly respects her husband and his opinion and his judgment, you know, she's gonna voice her opinion on the given subject, but she's gonna trust that her husband's gonna make the right choice, and then she's willing to stand by him in that choice, even if it goes wrong. Then he has an opportunity. That, okay, because he's taken her counsel, and he might have to change his decision. But it's nothing worse than having to make a decision, and your wife reminds you every day that's not what she would have done. She still thinks you're wrong. She still thinks you're an idiot. But she's gonna say, you know, I can't explain it all. But anybody out there who's been married or been in a relationship, they know. People might go along with what you say, but you know they ain't with you, and we all know what that feels like. You know, people get, you know, because they have no other choice. Just think about your job. When they think they should do something on the job and they do it a different way, but you got a stinking attitude, but they're still paying you and you still go to work, but you think what they're doing ain't right. It's the same thing in a marriage. You know, you can make your husband feel that way, or even a husband. You carry it in a way where you don't value your wife's input and opinion. So these are the things that we talk about when we have conflict and resolution, and I think it's an atmosphere. It has to be an atmosphere that's set. Again, that comes with maturity, that comes with one another, that comes with growing together, that comes with vision. Or what's our overall goal here? Are we looking to please God? Are we looking to shape and mold our family? How we want our family structure to be so that we can all survive and thrive and grow in it? And that's where we can keep a lot of the conflict down, because we're on the same page, because we want to get to the same place, and we're just navigating through life to get there. And I think a lot of that is because when you get to the point where your things are being said, we're getting vindictive, we're getting revengeful, we're tit for tat, we have that underlying thing. I know there's a scripture that talks about the little foxes destroy the vine. It's the little things that we can do to each other in a marriage that will destroy a marriage. It's not the big things, because if people think, you know, like affairs or whatever, you know, whatever it can be, affairs, you know, you get an STD and bring it home to your spouse. Those are big things. And those, again, God can reconcile and heal. But it's the little things, the constant everyday things, the rolling, sucking eyes, the chastisement, the negative attitude, whatever you want to do it. I know people out there listening in a certain age know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been in relationships with people that you've been around, but you can't stand them, but you can't leave them. And that's where these little conflicts, because we're not dealing with the stuff that's bothering people. And then we're dealing with insecurities. You know, everybody ain't been raised the same. Everybody's been through different things. And then some people are just reflective of the crazy marriages they've seen in their family. And they think that's the way it's supposed to be. If you ain't fussing and fighting, you ain't really happy. Because fussing and fighting, you know, it's one minute you're fussing, the next minute, you know, everything is, you know, it's normal. It's a cycle. But, you know, you get into those cycles and you think if that's not going on, something's wrong. So, again, it's atmosphere. And I believe, again, as we talk about here on Issues Christian Men's Talk, husbands, we're responsible to set the atmosphere in our homes. That's something we can do. That's something we can take upon. That should be part of our whole, that's the part of what we call as husbands. Husbandmen, we're setting the atmosphere in our marriages, and we're leading our wives, and we're doing these things that we're trying to get it again. But as long as we're connected to God, if we have a priority in Christ, if our priority is in Christ and pleasing Christ, and if we're being led by the Holy Spirit, it's in us to set the atmosphere in our home that God will be pleased with it. Because again, you know, I say this a lot because I say this in jest, but, you know, God is not going to judge us. He's not judging us by congregation. He's not judging us on who our pastor was. We're not going to stand before him and tell him this, although my pastor was and my bishop and my district elder was. That's not what God's going to look at. God's going to look at, he's going to judge you on what he gave you in your wife and in your family and the gifts and talents and things he gave and purpose he gave for your life and how well you fulfilled it. Because God already knows. So don't think nothing's going on in your marriage, nothing going on in your life, nothing going on in your ministry. God did not know. He wants to see how you're going to handle it. He know what he put in you. And if he put that wife and those kids as a husband and a father, you're responsible for them, and you're going to stand before him naked and alone and be judged on how you raised that family. If you have a family, because your family is a gift from God, your children are a gift from God, and your wife is a gift from God. So how did you treat them, you know? And you know, you might be the CEO, you might own a couple companies, you might whatever. But if you believe what the Word of God says about your wife and your children, and he's going to judge you on how you did, on what you do to fulfill the role as a husband and father. Were you along the biblical lines? And that's what we have to get back to and stay focused with. And that's part of when we resolve these conflicts. Again, I believe it's setting an atmosphere in the home where we're a team. We're a team. We're not out here, a husband and wife, we're a team, and we're looking to go to the same place together. Amen? What do you think, sir?
Amen. I agree with you, man. I appreciate the wisdom that you're giving us today and helping us to understand. You know, many times when you look at that scripture, it says, don't let the sun go down on you angry, it means that we're not supposed to go to bed angry. I don't understand that one myself, because sometimes, you know, even in trying to resolve conflicts, they don't always resolve right away. They don't always resolve quickly. And I know we got about 5 minutes left, and I just want you to speak to that point right there. You know, many of us have heard that before, that we're not supposed to go to bed angry. What do you think about that?
All right, bro. I'm not going to be a theologian, but I'm going to take the word of God for what it says. And I think I go back to, you know, it's our atmosphere. We can have conflict, but are we so angry that we can't? I mean, why do we, again, how do we get so angry at the spouse, at our flesh, at someone who's part of us, so angry, you know, that it's affecting our relationship? I don't think there's nothing that serious that can happen to a married couple who's committed to God, who's filled with the Holy Spirit, and who's committed to one another and have a vision in the home, that they can't come to resolve the conflict. And you're right. It don't mean you're going to stay up for 3 days till you'll find something, because that doesn't make sense. Sometimes everybody needs to shut up and get some rest. And I put it as simple as that. Everybody needs to just be quiet, go to sleep, and let's try it again in the morning. You know, just because you can't, you know, fussing all night long. Let me say this. When it comes to arguing and fussing, this comes to a point where nobody's listening to nobody, because everybody wants to get what they're out, wants to be heard. So when everybody wants to be heard, when everybody's transmitting, nobody's receiving. So, I mean, the theological aspects of that scripture, you know, I think it's more a heart thing to me. You know, I could have a disagreement with my wife. We could argue. We could have had argument at 7. And then, you know, then we, like I said, you know, I go back to my original theology that I was taught when I was young. We both can't act crazy at the same time. You know, one of us has to have a sense enough not to say anything, and argument to die down, because anybody who keeps arguing with themselves, is they got more greater issues than what you're arguing about, okay? So I think that I go back to my experience is setting an atmosphere in the home where conflict is resolved, and when there's a time to let's pray. And then, you know, I know that becomes a cliche too, but it really is. We both know what the situation is. We know what we're arguing about. Let us both pray and see what God can say to us and to our spirits. And then, it's not about staying up all night and screaming and arguing about each other. It's about, you know, let's stop, let's pray. Because first of all, we need the peace of God to resolve anything when it comes to marriage and relationships. If we don't have the peace of God within us, we won't even be able to hear or seek any true answer anyway. Because then we argue through our flesh, trying to be right, trying to get our way. And that's selfishness and that's sin. So, you know, that's just my 2 cents about it. Again, it's about the atmosphere of what the relationship is built on. And again, depending on how long you've been married, you've been together, it takes time to get there. But you have to have the wisdom enough to know how to get there and know that you need to get there and just continue to move forward. Amen. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here with Pastor Larry Watkins. You've been listening to Issues, Christian Men Talk. We're here right now. Well, we're going to be on more than weekly. Today is Monday, the 9th of November, and we started at 8 o'clock. You can listen to the re-archive, rebroadcast of this show by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, or go to Facebook, Issue Christian Men's Talk, and you see the link, and you can listen to this broadcast again. Also, if you go to the website, www.blobtalk.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, click on the Follow Us button, and you'll get updates in your Facebook page and email when we have a new show broadcast and download it. God bless you. Thank you for calling. Pastor Watkins, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, sir.
And you feed me those questions, bro. You got me going here. But amen, amen.
Amen.
And, we're in unity, and we get to share this thing. And I pray that someone was blessed, someone heard something that encouraged them. We encourage you to come back again next week. Again, if you go to the Facebook page, there'll be announcement going out for the next time, for the next live broadcast. But you also can catch us live Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. at the same number. Phone number is going to be 646-668-2636. God bless you, and we hope to hear from you soon. Pastor Watkins, thank you, sir. God bless you.
God bless you, Deke. Thank you.